Hi, guys. Welcome to Huddle. My name is Chuck McCoskey, and I was just reminded by my good brother in Christ and my best friend, other than my wife. My friend, where are you, Taff? I lost where he's. There he is over there. It's Thanksgiving Eve, and man, so many blessings, so much to be thankful for. I'd like to spend 20 minutes talking about all the blessings, but and I'm going to do that because I'm going to talk about my wife and I, and the only person I've been friends with longer on the planet than my wife is my buddy Taff. And we've been friends, I think, 52 years, off and on. Mostly on. Okay. Well, we're both Social Security and Medicare eligible now, so that's another blessing, right? So let me give you a little context of my brothers, especially my brothers Stan and Tim, who I love dearly and I love even more today than I ever have. Monday, I go to work, typical Monday, I think. I have some expectations. I've got some things on my calendar I know I'm going to do or have to do, have some appointments. But when I walk into the basement of the Howard County Courthouse and I approach my office, I hear squish, squish, squish every step I'm taking. I look down. And there's like 2 inches of water. Well, maybe an inch, inch and a half. Carpets were soaked. And that has happened before in the county courthouse, but never made it to my office. I don't know if you guys were out Friday night or anytime Saturday, but we had like monsoon rains. I happened to be at the Kokomo High School football game until the monsoons came, and I bailed. I hate to admit I'm a Wildcat fan. Not that I hate to admit that, but I hate to admit that I bailed because literally it was monsoon rains and I thought I would be better suited to hear the rest of the game in the car. So I bailed out. I'm a wimp, whatever. Wuss, call me whatever you want, but I did. So I'm immediately displaced. I mean, it's not that serious. There's a lot of people out this week because of the holiday. So I can find an office, but not being an IT guy, don't really have many gifts in that area. If you know me, you know that. I just got, what do they call them, a smartphone 2 weeks ago. So that'll tell you a little bit about my knowledge with that kind of stuff. I had a slider. I went from a flip phone to a slider after 6 years, and then I finally got a smartphone. Peer pressure. That was the only reason, was peer pressure. They're laughing at me all the time. So I go to this unfamiliar office. I finally get things up and running, and I see my first assessment that I have of the day, and I'm preparing for the second one when I receive a text. And this text says, "Hey Chuck, when are you going to send me your outline?" I looked at it. I read it again. I thought to myself, maybe even almost out loud, he surely sent this to the wrong person. It's a mistake, right? So I call my friend, and I said, "Tim Nolan, you're now under the bus." No, I said, "Hey, Tim, did you mean to send this to somebody else?" And he goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "I didn't know I was speaking Wednesday." I said, "I got a call last summer from Andy Hardy. You hear, Andy, I'm going to throw you under the, there's room for all you under the bus." Okay, so I proceed to tell Tim he had asked me, but I never heard back. And a couple of weeks ago, I'm at this door out here, and somebody mentioned about me speaking, and I said, "I have not been told." And Stan Reber said, "You're speaking next semester." Here I am, ready and willing, Lord. Oh, so yeah, I did cry a couple of why me's, but I got over it pretty quick and just asked God to give me what I'm supposed to share today. So that's why I'm here. I had a rough day Monday, a better day yesterday, and a greater day today, because I get to be with you guys and share what God's put on my heart. Hear this quote with your heart, not with your head. When a husband is not being the spiritual leader in the home, it affects the well-being of the rest of the family. Now, some of you sitting there saying, and I know some of you are single or not currently married, this is for you too, because your day may be coming. And wherever you are in your home, men, you're called to be the spiritual leader in that home. And it will affect the well-being of the rest of your family your community, those around you, your coworkers. Your spiritual leadership is not just in the home. That's where it should start, but it should carry on into the rest of our lives as well. So again, I want to give some context about my wife, Becky. I get past this part, I'm going to be all right. My wife, Becky, is my best friend. I met her in the fall of 1971. So if you do the math, you're like, wow, you really are Medicare eligible, right? Yeah, 1971 in the fall. I'm a 19-year-old goofball, jacked up, doing stupid things, making bad decisions, abusing people, places, and things, mostly myself and my spiritual well-being by the choices I was making. And God only knows, well, he does know, why he put her in my life and why we ended up being married now 39 years. Because when she first met me, I was literally a mess. And I don't want to give all the gory details, but I was in a pretty bad place. And she came and checked on me the next day to see if I was okay, if I had survived through that ordeal that particular night. Freshman at college, mind you, a Christian college, and totally misbehaved, totally out of control in most areas of my life at that point. But thanks be to God. I tell that story to give you some context of where I came from, because if we don't know where we came from, we most likely don't know where we're going. It's okay to remember the past because it helps mold us and shape us into the people we are today. So I encourage people to look at their past, to embrace the past. So all of that happened for a reason, so that the work of God might be displayed through me. So as I stand before you today, I tell you that I'm a changed man. I'm a transformed man. I began to take spiritual leadership into God's hands when I probably was about 27. We made a decision to get married after 6 years of courtship. My lack of commitment, let's just say it. Or the ability to make commitment, okay? That's the truth. Becky probably, I hope she's not listening, but she probably would have said yes if I'd asked her back in those days when I still wasn't as spiritually fit as I needed to be or where I needed to be. But we got married in 1978, so we celebrated 39 years, October the 29th. I know that doesn't touch some of your guys' records with your marriage, but what an incredible, thankful blessing my wife is. She literally saved my life. She took me by the hand to church when I decided to get clean and sober and turn my life around and ask Christ into my life. She held my hand through counseling sessions many a times, and it sounds almost like it was reversed, and that's the fact. It was. She was more of the spiritual leader early on in my life. So how can I not be the spiritual leader, is guess what I want to say, or what I want to put out there to you guys after all that she's done for me. So what does that mean, to be the spiritual leader, you might ask? I hope that you do, because that's what I want you guys to talk about at your table, but I'm going to give some ideas out here. First thing I want to do, though, is read this quote. What a great book. What a challenging book Mr. Jim George has written. So chapter 8 is what I'm talking about today, A Heart That Leads Your Wife. Listen to these words. The Christian family is under attack by the forces of evil. Christian marriages are disintegrating at an alarming rate. Children in Christian homes are not receiving the proper training and modeling from their parents. That breaks my heart, and I know it breaks God's heart. And from my perspective, he says, a major contributor to this tragic slide is a husband and or a father who is not assuming his God-ordained role as spiritual leader. Those are powerful, powerful words of truth. And I happen to be in a position like many of you that we get to see and witness the results of that every day. Brokenness, broken homes, the alcohol and drug problem. You know, all those things are symptoms of a deeper problem. Does anybody know what that problem is? What's the core issue? Your heart, giving your heart sold out, surrendered to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, ultimately, we can have all the programs, all of the different summits, people working together, collaborating to find answers. But if we don't have that, if God doesn't have our heart, all those programs are nothing but programs. And I know that we need those, and I'm part of those, and I want to be a part of that. But your heart, if God doesn't have your heart, you're treading water, man. You're treading water. And that's, for me, that's dangerous, because I'm not a swimmer. So, another thing that I thought of and I jotted down that breaks my heart, I see close to me friends, coworkers, community people that I've known for years, 20, 30 plus years, many years of marriage, and just quitting, giving up, divorcing, quitting on. This is a bold question, and you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you, in the time that you've been married, have thought about quitting, have thought about giving up, have thought about walking out? Seriously? If you haven't, I mean, hopefully you're being honest. You know, you don't have to raise your hand, but I've been to those places. We've been in dark places. We've been married 39 years. Are you serious? I mean, come on, man. Marriage is hard. Relationships are hard. It takes work. And I tell people that come into my office, they want to get into recovery. Recovery is not just a word. You got to work at it. You got to be intentional. You got to take initiative in being successful at what you're doing, whether it's recovery, it's relationships, it's marriage, it's raising your children, leading your wife spiritually. It takes intentionality. So I'm going to talk about some of the ways we can do that. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands, you should love your wives as you love your own body. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 29. So here you go. If you're a note taker, and I'm a bit of an OCD guy, so it made it even tougher when I found out on Monday that I'm speaking on Wednesday, because I like to have all this planning and preparing and praying and looking up and just meditating and talking to people and writing down notes of the things that God brings to me. So I got over a little bit of my OCD this week, so thank you guys. Five practical things we can do to improve ourselves as spiritual leaders in our homes, and more specifically, how we can lead our wives or our future wives. Number one, I love this. We can't give away what we don't have. I mean, do you get that? Try to give away something you don't have. You can't give it away. So if you're not pursuing Christ, if you're not reading the scripture, if you're not praying, if you're not asking your wife to pray for her or with her, if you're not letting her go to conferences or workshops or women's groups, or you're not going together, if you're not doing those things yourself, how are you going to lead your wife to the throne? Seriously. So first call is our call to accountability. What are we doing to pursue? The rest of that is, you can't keep it if you don't give it away. So you can have all that, but if you're keeping it to yourself and you're not sharing that in your home and outwardly in the community, what good is it doing? You're not sharing that message of hope. Experience, strength, and hope we're to share because of what God's done for us and given us. Here's one for you. And again, I'm not going to do the show of hands thing because that was obviously a flop. Praying with your wives. How many of you pray with your wives? You initiate a time of prayer. This reminds me. I told Stan I was going to interview my wife. You want to know how you're doing, guys? Go home and ask your wife those important questions. And then be willing and ready to accept what they have to share. I took that risk last night, Tim. So I said, Becky, we need to talk. And oh boy, when I say that, she's usually like, uh-oh. Like, what did I do or what did I not do? Or am I in trouble? I said, no. I told her what I'm doing. I'm doing this talk. And so then she got immediately a little frightened about me sharing what she might share. And I said, no, complete abandon. I want you to tell me. I want to know how I'm doing. She said, now or in the past? Okay. I still got a lot of work to do, guys, and that's my confession to you here today. So she said, I said, so as a spiritual leader, and asked her to define what that meant to her, and how do you think I'm doing? She started some really nice words. That's a great start. She said, you have a serious commitment, and I can see the commitment that you have to your faith, to growth. You're dedicated, you tithe regular, you go to church, you read the Bible, you read your devotions. It's all sounding good. So then I asked the hard question, what am I not doing that you'd like to see differently? Or what have I done that's not been effective or helpful to you? She said, well, I used to see you reading the Bible more than I do now. And I immediately responded with, I read my devotionals. She just went, okay. Valid, great point. Yeah, well, the scripture's in the devotional. I was trying to make excuses, you know, trying to compromise what she was trying to do is tell me the truth. She said she didn't particularly. I said, well, the book says that I should, like, share with you when I, because I try to read her devotionals at night, Taff. My wife is not a night person. I mean, she's more like, if I would just change to reading the devotionals and share them with her in the morning, I'd probably have a better chance of being a spiritual leader in that regard. So that's something I need to work on. When she hits the bed, it's like lights out, and I still got the lights on. I'm reading and doing whatever I do, and then I want to say, hey, Becky, what do you think? She's like, in other words, leave me alone. I'm going to sleep. She's a teacher, and she gets up earlier than me and has to be at work earlier, so I need to work on that. So bottom line, I ask her, how am I doing in terms of, like, she's a teacher at Kokomo High School. I said, give me a grade. I really went out on a limb. Grade me. Well, I was expecting, honestly, I was hoping she'd give me a B. I really was. I was hoping for a B, maybe a B minus. You know, B's get degrees. That's what I got through college. I'm just gonna say that's how I got through. B's got me a degree. C's also rhymes with degree, so don't take that to heart. But she said, I'd give you an A. And I said, wow. Yeah, I was amazed. I was truly shocked. And, of course, then I thought, well, why not an A+? I didn't say it. I just thought it, guys. See, it's important. We have filters. And mine gets clogged up once in a while. But last night I was pretty clear that was not the thing to say. But it was very helpful, honestly. And one thing she did say that stuck with me, and I really need to work on this, and I don't know if this helps somebody here, then I'm glad I'm sharing it. Early on, when we did our Bible studies and devotionals, and especially early in our marriage, and Taff, you won't be a bit surprised because you know me well. She would share her heart or what she got from it when I would ask her, what do you think about this, or how can we apply it? And then I would immediately attack. Well, what about, or I would argue or be critical. She called it critical. Let's just say what she said. There are many times where I'm critical in her sharing. So, God, I need your help on that one. Okay. So, number two is initiate prayer. Here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you guys. This will really be cool. There'll be a huge explosion, and you'll think fireworks are going off in Kokomo tonight. If every one of us would go home, look our eyes in the in. Look our wives in the eyes and say to them, what can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? What do you need me to pray for you about? Whew, that's good stuff. So I challenge you to do that. Third thing is to be involved in small groups or Bible studies, devotionals, you know, sharing, reading the scripture, talking about it with each other, asking each other hard questions. You know, how are you applying this? How do you think this is applied to your life daily? What is God trying to teach us through this? Fourth thing is counsel your wife with the gospel. Now, back to what I just said. That was not good counsel, me being critical of her, sharing her observations and what her thoughts and feelings were. This is really hard for us as guys. Most of us are fixers. I'm a fixer. I want to fix things. I want to correct things. I want to make things right. I don't know why I think that's my job. I mean, two things I know for sure. There's a God and it ain't me. But that's just something I have to work on, not trying to fix everything and everybody. So I'm getting better at that. But what they need us to do is to listen. We have a hard time with that. I'm saying we, because I'm 65 years old and I've been a man for 65 years and I'm proud of that fact, but I am paid to listen. But my wife would tell me, put down the remote, turn off ESPN, quit reading the sports page and the obituaries and the police blotter, you know, those are where most of my peeps are at, you know, honestly. So put the remote down, turn off ESPN, give her some eye time, and listen. That's the best counsel, man. And then don't judge, don't try to correct. None of this, you shouldn't feel that way. Let them feel what they need to feel. Let them say what they need to say. Except just like Jesus does, us, right where we are. All right, that was four, right? All right, last one. This one is, I think, really, they're all important, but this one really hits. It's be involved in a Christian community together. So be together, involved in, we did Upward Basketball, and my buddy Taft's in charge of Upward Basketball at our church now. My wife and I, when it first started, I did devotionals. I helped keep the score. I refereed a little. I'm terrible at refereeing, so I didn't want to do that. But doing something together in the Christian community, Bridges Outreach, you know, we both have helped with Bridges Outreach and love doing that. Quick story. So there's this young man who needs a big brother, and I know his mother, so I started taking him out to dinner every 2 weeks. Last night I get home, and my wife says, what are we doing for dinner? And I said, uh-oh, I forgot to tell her. Another one of my character defects. So I'm taking this young man, and I said, would you like to join us? She goes, would he be okay with that? Because maybe he wants to talk to you alone. I said, why don't I call him and ask him? So cool, last night my wife and I got to mentor this young man and have dinner with him at Cracker Barrel. Had great conversation. I mean, he's in a very, very tough situation that I can relate to, from, you know, with what's going on in his home and where he's staying. And it just, again, just breaks my heart that a lot of our young people in this community are suffering. But he is overcoming, and he's going to be an overcomer and not a victim. So I'm very proud of him. But I'm so glad that she went last night. She really helped with the conversation and what was going on with this young man. So if you're not doing that, please get involved in some kind of, at your church, a mentoring program, a small group. We had a small group for a while in our home. My wife reminded me another thing. She said, that was 20 years ago. And I said, 20 years ago? And then I proved to her it was only 10, because I'm critical. It was only 10 years ago. It seemed like 20. But it's still too long. And another thing is to invite neighbors. What about going out and inviting neighbors to come to your home for dinner and then share the gospel, share your faith? How about that? Yeah. Is that too hard for some of us? I hope not. It's what's expected of us. So bottom line, I want to challenge you guys and give you some time to talk. Go home, ask your wife how you're doing as a spiritual leader. Then ask her what you can pray for her, and take her hands and look her in the eyes and pray for her. I hope you'll do that. Father God, help us as we rise up to the